Progressive News Network, a new Mercury Media production, where you'll find the voices of activists, the voices of those working to make this a better world. We believe that as we face challenging times, the human spirit can face and surmount the foolish and the short-sighted. Tune in every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, for the live show, or anytime you can. Progressive News Network, found at www.newmercurymedia.com/PNN/. We have a future. Tune in and build it with us. Underwritten by Florida Media Labs, produced by Rick Spizak in cooperation with Canary and a Coal Mine Films. Progressive News Network.
Hello, is this Jan Norris?
Yes.
Hey, Jan. Hi there. Thanks
How
for stopping
doing?
By. I'm doing well. So Jan is the editor of the new magazine, Florida Food and Farm. And so, Jan, tell us what you want us to know.
What I want you to know is that the magazine that we're publishing is a proponent of local food and joining food communities throughout South Florida at the moment. We're hoping to expand throughout Florida, but at the moment what we're doing is making the connection between local farms and farmers and the consumers. So with a directory of small farms and those struggling to produce in this economic, situation where we have mostly corporate food available to the mainstream, these are people trying to bring back the true, really good food, if you want to call it that, real food, clean food, whatever name you want to give it, both organic and conventionally grown, and put it back in our communities instead of trucking it from here to California, in our case with our oranges and other foods, and here to Michigan with our beans. We don't think food should have a passport or a license plate. It should come right from your backyard. And that's what we're trying to do. So with our magazine, we're highlighting those farms that are doing that, selling to local green markets, farmers markets, and to chefs who are using this food in their own restaurants. So the smaller chefs as well, or those chef-owned restaurants that depend on locally produced food instead of buying it from even foreign countries. It's kind of nuts how our food has gotten away from us. So it's not just a fad. We don't think farm-to-table, as it's called, is a fad. We know it is a true and very, very important trend. And I think as more and more people are concerned about where their food comes from, they're changing how they think about buying food and just going to the grocery store and picking up yet another package of, peppers. They're looking at the label. They're wanting to know, why are these peppers coming from the Honduras or Mexico? And we grow them out here in phenomenal numbers, and they grow nearly year-round in our climate. So those are the questions that people have been asking and wanting to get answers for now. And that's why you've seen the growth of the green markets and the farmers markets and these community stores, if you will, co-op stores, where farmers are bringing their foods in and selling them. They can't possibly produce enough for a public in these small and very intimately farmed plots, but they can produce enough for a community. So that's what we're highlighting in the magazine. We're really trying to make people aware that there are farms down here, and there are plenty that sell to the public. So it's kind of interesting. We the response has been unbelievably phenomenal. We are that farmers, I think, are surprised at the reaction they're getting as well from the consumers who didn't know they even existed. This is an odd place down here in South Florida where, you know, 40 miles from the coastline, we have our bean fields and our pepper fields and, of course, sugar cane. But most people who live on that coast have never been out that way to see the farm. And it's almost sad to me growing up here and seeing what's happened, the development taking over the farms and the farmers being shut out, the smaller farmers definitely, the small ranchers and goat producers and the small cattle producers, they've just been swallowed up by corporate entities that are taking over our food supply. So we don't know our farmers anymore. We don't know these people who are actually producing what we eat every single day of the year. And it's sort of sad to us. And that's why we're trying to highlight these farms and the ones who are really, really trying to support a local food community. We think it's important work.
No, oh, it is. It's definitely. It's very, very exciting. Now you said something and it started me going. I have always wondered, because peppers are one of those things that retain pesticide. They're on the dirty dozen. They're one of the dirty dozen. And so you want to be sure, I think, that your peppers are organic. And I would personally like to know who are the organic pepper growers in South Florida. That I would really like to know. And have you discovered, for instance, the question that you brought up is like, why are they coming from Mexico when they grow them right here in Florida? Did you find out that question's answer yet?
Well, after the NAFTA trade agreement, when we signed that agreement back in the 90s, we opened up a floodgate of vegetables, fruits, vegetables, and produce that was prior to that not accepted in this country. And now we, in order to trade other items going the other direction, we're getting cheaper fruit, cheaper vegetables. It's so much cheaper to buy land, obviously, in Mexico and Honduras, Nicaragua, down into South America, Chile and Ecuador. If you look, we get Chilean fruit. I was shopping tonight just because I wanted to look. And the watermelon that we have in the store in March, mind you, is from Honduras. And this was all allowed during the North American trade. You know, NAFTA opened part of it, and we opened the rest of South America later on. They can produce it much cheaper than we can. It's the same way they can produce iPhones in India. God forbid they should make something like that over here in America. It would cost three times the weight. So
yes,
the question
because
is,
we try to pay people a living wage most of the time, not all the time,
we
but
do.
Most of the time.
We certainly do. And that's another thing we really want to highlight is, and eventually we'll get into that, the farms that we're focusing on are small. They're not huge enough to have billions of workers that come in for a season and leave yet again. We've talked to the Wish Farms, and I talked to that farm manager who has permanent workers on the strawberry field. Wish Farms is in Plant City, Florida, and they do it right. They've got organic strawberries. You've seen them probably in Publix, and you've also seen the prices of them. Of course, you've seen the price. And therein, it's a rub. You know, they're $5.99 a pint versus, or a pound, whatever, versus $2.99 or $3.99 per strawberry grown both here and in California conventionally. So, and we're a very large strawberry producer, don't get me wrong, and we grow conventional as well. But Florida has, we do have those organic farms around. And I think it's important that we focus not only on unorganic, and certainly a lot of people are, especially since the produce grown in foreign countries, are using, they're allowed to use pesticides that we've since banned years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's certainly a concern on the fruits and vegetables coming from out of the country. The
mm-hmm.
USDA swears it's safe. The FDA, everybody inspects and says, oh, yeah, it's safe, it's safe. If that's safe, why do we ban those things? There's my question. So certainly, if I was going to buy anything from Chile, I'd want it organic, you know.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
I just absolutely had to have raspberries. There's so many reasons we have raspberries in January. It's the consumer as well as those who produce it. If the demand wasn't there, we wouldn't have them, let's face it. So we've created this luxury food, which is basically imported food, foods with passports. We created that market. It's going to be there. People are going to want raspberries in January. Well, they're eating out of season definitely in other parts of the country. We don't grow raspberries down here in any bulk. We don't do very well with berries because of our soil. We do very well with blueberries. They're a bush instead of a vine. We do have some berries, but not in the bulk that consumers want them around the country, certainly. So that's not something you're going to find in Florida in January. You're not going to get a raspberry in January in Florida unless you get
mm-hmm.
it from, you know, some other country. So
mm-hmm.
we created this whole machine that is indeed a machine. They're bringing them in from other parts of the world. We're consuming them, and then now we're turning around and saying, maybe that isn't such a great idea. But we've already been trained to eat those, so now what do we do? Well, welcome to the genetically modified fruits and vegetables that they're developing to withstand the winter temperatures or a different climate or a different soil. So now we're going to have people fooling with the food in order to get it to us in our own country. It's just maddening to all these prongs that go into these food systems that around the world, not just here, but around the world as well. Chefs are amazed at the variety of food we have at our disposal. Truly we are. I mean, just such a bounty. There's such a bounty out there. It's craziness. But it's at such a cost to the small farmer who is struggling to make it. It is so difficult to buy land, to maintain it. You're still up against Mother Nature, and if you're farming organically, especially in South Florida, you are up against the elements. Our soils are just teeming with pests because we have no winters to kill them off. And it's the fungus down here. We have so much mildew. We have so much fungus within the soils and flying around free that it's just nuts. You know, it's very, very difficult to grow organically in Florida. There's just no two ways about it. South of Orlando, we are in Zone 10. We're in the tropics. And we do tropical fruit like nobody's business. We have the most beautiful mangoes, avocados, passion fruit, and, oh, my gosh, just go right down the list. The lychees and the sapote. It's just amazing, all the wonderful fruits. We have chayote that will grow beautifully here, but other squash. We struggle with some of the other squashes because they get a powdery mildew and a fungus, and the soil, the nematodes go berserk. And you try to grow organically, and you can count on 1/3 of your crop being gone before you harvest.
Oh, God.
So,
hello? Okay, good.
Are you there?
Yeah, my phone just did something weird, and I can hear you.
Okay. So it's...
Sorry.
That's another reason the organic farmers are struggling as well. And what little they do grow, they, many of them have created the CSA, Community Supported Agriculture, whereby you buy a share of the farm. I'm not moving.
So,
you're breaking up on me.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I am here.
Okay.
What do you see? So what? I unfortunately have to go forward. What do you want people to know about Florida Food and Farm? Where can they get it? What are you going to be doing going forward?
We're going to continue to have our directory of all these small farms, the farmers market, retailers who are supporting the small farms, and the restaurants who are supporting the small farms. The directory makes up over half of our magazine. We'll have articles on those folks doing it. And we come out again in late April. The main focus this quarter, it's a quarterly free magazine available in Whole Foods and a number of markets and retailers and select public stores. Pardon me. And we will be focusing on bees this particular issue.
Ah, okay.
Highlighting bees and the importance bees have in our agriculture today, and how they were at once vanishing, now they're making a comeback, and surprisingly, it's in people's backyards. So this is really
wonderful.
Kind of a fun story too.
Wonderful.
That's what it's all about. So I do hope
cool.
you have a chance to get one. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I have one already. I mean, I definitely,
so
as soon as I saw it, I had it.
Great.
I got
great.
It. The first one. I think I got it at the local Ecopia event. I'm not sure, or maybe shortly thereafter. But,
we support
long time
all those. Right. We really support those organizations that are really bringing these people all together, at least to get the dialogue going. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you, Jan. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And we will encourage our listeners to pick up a copy when they see it at a Whole Foods or a local natural foods market near them.
You bet.
In South Florida,
sure.
At the moment. And soon,
sure.
soon to go statewide.
We sure hope so.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thanks
All
a lot,
right.
Jan. Good to talk to you.
You're welcome. Nice talking to you. Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Progressive News Network, a new Mercury Media production, where you'll find the voices of activists, the voices of those working to make this a better world. We believe that as we face challenging times, the human spirit can face and surmount the foolish and the short-sighted. Tune in every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, for the live show, or anytime you can. Progressive News Network, found at www.newmercurymedia.com/PNN/. We have a future. Tune in and build it with us. Underwritten by Florida Media Labs, produced by Rick Spizak in cooperation with Canary in a Coal Mine Films. Progressive News Network.